Mr. Summers, this is Judge Wood, and I just wanted to say, the district court said that, that in fact, this mention of the other two burglaries really wasn't all that extraordinary, given the fact that Mr. Sexton himself wasn't personally at risk anymore once he made that. And if it did prove to be useful in other prosecutions, Rule 35 is out there, but he frankly just didn't evaluate it as quite the extraordinary thing you say it is.
Thank you, Mr. Summers. Ms. Green?
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Alice Green. I'm the Assistant U.S. Attorney representing the government in this appeal. Addressing the points that Mr. Summers just made, let me first clarify one thing. The debriefing that was given was pursued under Sentencing Guideline 1B1.8. The district court clearly noted that. At times that he used the term immunity to describe that type of debriefing, he also used, in a sense, it was immunized. Mr. Summers is correct in the sense that he agreed to cooperate under a standard cooperation agreement where those statements would not be used against him to aggravate the sentence. That's what 1B1.8 provides. There was a provision that said they could be used indirectly if there was evidence that the government would pursue. There's absolutely nothing in the record that shows the government pursued anything. I think it's a red herring. I think the district court got it right. I think the probation office got it right. So that's what I would like to say about the debriefing issue. This record is really replete with reasons for why the district court denied acceptance in light of enhancing the sentence with the obstruction that the district court found to be early on in the case. What Mr. Summers said about the timing of this this motion to withdraw, that was not filed until June 18th.
I wanted to ask you about that. Although it gets resolved the Friday before what would have been a Monday trial, it hadn't been sitting around for months, had it? It was fairly recent.
Not at all. It was filed that very week, the 18th, I believe it was a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And the motion said that it was only the day before, the 17th, that Mr. Summers was told by Mr. Sexton that he was being discharged. So I don't think that is any has really any bearing here on the finding that.
Well, how long had the case been pending at that point in terms of just the overall idea of whether somebody pleaded guilty at an early enough stage to avoid unnecessary burden?
I believe the plea negotiations that were going on were being pursued in early spring through May. the conduct, he was arrested in February, so there was not a long stretch of time as we have in some cases, but there were plea negotiations, and Judge Shabazz found that Mr. Sexton was really holding out for the best deal. He was not admitting his guilt early on in the proceedings as a show of true remorse. And that's really the heart of the acceptance reduction here. And there's a clear finding that there was no remorse. The timing was late. It was to get the best benefits Mr. Sexton could. If you look at the plea and the sentencing transcripts, nowhere does Mr. Sexton acknowledge remorse. He made no statement at all at sentencing. So unlike other cases where acceptance was granted based on early cooperation and expressions of remorse, we simply don't have those facts here. There are a number of other factors that went into this in addition to the last-minute plea, the debriefing. There was no voluntary payment of restitution, as there had been in other cases where acceptance was awarded. In fact, a significant amount of the property has never been located. Judge Shabazz put a great emphasis on the early attempts to obstruct justice that Mr. Sexton committed and has not opposed early on in the case. So those were...
But you, of course, didn't initially oppose his acceptance of responsibility effort.
That is correct, Your Honor.
He must have thought something good was going on.
Well, I think that bears out the idea that whether two permissible views of the conduct, it's difficult to find adopting one of those is clearly erroneous. Yes, we did take a different position below.
And as counsel indicated, were able to solve some other crimes from his testimony.
I'm sorry?
You were able to solve some other crimes with his...
There is absolutely no evidence to that effect in the record.
Well, I know, but the evidence might be, it seems to me, was the fact that you didn't object to his acceptance of responsibility, though.
We did not.
You can infer that from what it was, even though it may not be in the record.
Right. Right. But in light of that, even if he is correct on that, again, it under the clearly erroneous standard, where there can be these two permissible views, we just don't think that this court should overturn the finding that acceptance was not warranted. So unless there are further questions, I would...
Thank you, Ms. Green.
Thank you.
Mr. Summers, you have 4 minutes in rebuttal.
Okay, the first point that I'd like to make is, in terms of the time,
but it also does have to do, this is Judge Wood again, does have to do with remorse, and I think the uphill battle here is that while it can occur, what the adjustment can occur, when there has also been obstruction of justice. The guidelines are rather clear that that's going to be an unusual situation, and so you need to take yourself, you know, out of the ordinary point where somebody's obstructed justice and show why you're so unusual.
Why does that show he had remorse?
Because it shows that when he came forward and he said, this is what I've done, this is everything I have done. He could have understood.
Thank you, Mr. Summers. Case will be taken under advisement. The court will be in recess.